The Biblical View of Nature, Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Various features of the biblical view of nature are compared and contrasted with those of other worldviews. How does the Bible view nature? How does this compare and contrast with how nature is viewed by other worldviews? We especially want to contrast this with scientism of various sorts. We're going to suggest here that the Bible views nature as created, as good, as revelatory, as orderly or uniform, as controlled, as cursed, as a stewardship, as finite, as open, and the visible part of a larger realm. Let's have a look at each of these. Created. See Genesis 1:1 and frequently elsewhere in Scripture. Genesis 1:1 in the NIV says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." The idea that the world is created is probably the most basic feature of nature, according to Scripture. This is set in contrast to the idea of nature being eternal, and the biblical teaching is that nature has not always existed. This is in contrast with the idea in some worldviews of nature being divine. The Bible is very explicit that nature is not to be worshipped. This is in contrast with the view in some worldviews that nature is accidental. The Bible says nature was made by God's wisdom. Secondly, the Bible pictures nature as good. See Genesis 1:31 and several times earlier and more briefly in the creation account. Genesis 1:31 in the NIV, God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good, and there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Although the Bible will later mention a curse that comes upon nature because of human rebellion, the goodness of nature is still emphasized. This is set in contrast to the idea that nature is neutral, neither good nor bad, or over against accidental, as we see in secularist worldviews, and over against nature as bad, as seen in Gnosticism, an ancient Greco-Roman modification of Christianity that has resurged some here in recent years, showing up perhaps most recently in the Da Vinci Code. Thirdly, nature is revelatory. See Psalm 19, verse 1, or Romans 1, verses 18 through 20. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Romans 1 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." So, nature is revelatory. Nature shows God's character, just as an artifact shows the craftsman's skill. It reveals God's glory, his uniqueness. It reveals his divine nature, his eternal power. The natural consequence of this is what we call teleology, evidence of design in nature, understanding features of nature as being part of design and being able to reverse engineer them in some sense. Now, this is set over against worldviews in which nature is accidental or meaningless. The NIV translates the book of Ecclesiastes refrain as the world is meaningless. That's not bad for some of what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, although I think a better translation is that the world and the things that we see and hear as a result of the fall are empty. some sense. Next, biblical view of nature suggests that nature is orderly or uniform. See Genesis 8:22 and Jeremiah 33, verses 20 and 21. Genesis 8:22 reads this way, into the flood, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Basically picturing this orderliness in nature. Jeremiah 33, verses 20 and 21 says this, this is what the Lord says, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer are come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David my servant and my covenant with the Levites who are priests ministering before me can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. So, picture here, God has made nature to be orderly. This orderliness is inexplicable even in modern science. Oh yeah, we can say, sequence of day and night follows from the rotation of the Earth on its axis, and that's how we get day and night, etc. But why the universe should have the order it does, why there should be this law structure in it, is inexplicable from the perspective of modern science. And some of the features of that, what we call the anthropic phenomena, or the fine-tuning, are in fact a very powerful evidence of a designer behind nature. We look at that in several of our PowerPoint talks here. That nature, then, is orderly or uniform, is set over against worldviews in which nature is capricious or random or chaotic. It's set over against the worldviews in which nature is the work of a committee, as in some of the polytheisms. Nature is controlled. See Romans 8:28 and Isaiah 44:24-28. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Isaiah 44, verses 24-28. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself, who foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners, who overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense, who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the prediction of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inhabited, of the towns of Judah, they shall be built, and of the ruins, I will restore them. Who says to the watery deep, be dry, and I will dry up your streams. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let its foundations be laid. Picture here is that everything is under God's control, who is working out his purposes in nature and in history. And that's set in contrast with the worldviews in which see the events of history as accidental, or as fate, or see other actors as equally ultimate in the whole scheme of things. The Bible certainly says that humans are actors in this scheme that we see, that Satan is an actor in the scheme that we see, but we're not equally ultimate actors. We're like characters in a story, and God is like not only one of the characters in the story, but also like the author of the story, and so on a very different level. Next, the biblical view of nature is that nature has been cursed. See Genesis 3:17 and Romans 8:20 and 21. Genesis 3:17, to Adam he said, God speaking, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Romans 8:20 and 21. Paul says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Well, there's some uncertainty regarding the scope of this curse. Is this curse just applying to the earth, its surface, or is it something broader? Christians disagree. But the picture here is in contrast to other worldviews in which the earth, the nature, etc., is made in an imperfect way, or versus a view that is evolving, that is actually getting a lot better as time goes on. So, nature is also a stewardship. We see this in Genesis 1:28 and in Psalm 8. Genesis 1:28, God says to the first humans, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Psalm 8, verses 5 through 8, the psalmist says to God, you, God, made him, Adam, a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. So the picture here, nature is a stewardship. God has entrusted to humans the oversight of nature, at least on Earth, but we are responsible to him for how we do this. Secular ecologists want something of this sort, for humans to treat nature as a stewardship, but they often get tangled in priorities. Partly, of course, because many of them have no God for us to be responsible to, and they get tangled in the question of whether there's any hierarchy in nature. And some of the activities of the movement called PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and the Christians, of course, should be in favor of the ethical treatment of animals, but animals are not humans, and they do not have the same rights, if you like. God does not command vegetarianism, anything of that sort. Nature, according to the Bible, is finite. See Genesis 1, Psalm 147, 4, Psalm 102, 25 through 27, Revelation 21 and 22. We only cite a couple of those here. Psalm 147, 4 says of God, he determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Well, taken literally, you call each of them by name, and the names are a finite length, and you have a finite number of stars. Psalm 102, 25 through 27. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. So, the biblical picture of nature is that nature has a beginning, has probably a finite size, and some sort of end, although in a renewed form, nature will last forever. This is set in contrast with some other worldviews which have eternal cycles, or have a universe which will come to an end with a heat death. The universe is finite, if you like. The universe is open. See Genesis 18, Exodus 3, Joshua 5, Job 1 and 2, Job 38-42. Here's Exodus 3, 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is the Moses, in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Joshua 5, verses 13 and 14. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Open. The universe is open. Nature is open. God can and does intervene into the universe he has made. This is not typically given much attention by Christians in science, or sometimes even by Christians in theology. Perhaps this is a reaction to medieval and charismatic extremes, where there are miracles popping off left and right everywhere, and very strange things are recorded. The picture here in the Bible of nature is open is in contrast to the closed universe of secularism, or even of someone like Rudolf Bultmann, who claimed to be a theist, etc., believed that nature was a closed system of cause and effect in which not even God could intervene. We might say, by way of analogy, that the universe is more like a guitar than it is like a watch. It's not something that God wound up and let run by itself. It's something that was designed for intervention, like a guitar is designed for input from the performer. Related to this, the nature, is part of a larger realm. See 2 Kings 6, Job 1 and 2, Matthew 17. 2 Kings 6, 17, Elijah and his servant are in the fortified city of Dothan, and they get up one morning and they see the Syrian army surrounding the place. They're after Elijah, by the way. And Elisha's servant is scared to death. And Elisha prays and says, "O Lord, open his eyes," the servant's eyes, "so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Matthew 17:5. While Jesus was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, Jesus and the disciples, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Nature is part of a larger realm. This is related to the previous characteristic of nature being open, that God can intervene. The universe is not explicable from within. Not all causation is internal. The universe is a stage. History is a novel. Over against the closed universe of Rudolf Bultmann, which I mentioned in the last point, over against the clockwork universe of materialists. Well, that's our tour. We suggest the Bible views nature as created rather than always existing, or something that has just happened, as good rather than neutral or bad, as revelatory, it's actually telling us something about its maker, as orderly, uniform, as controlled, God has everything under control, like the good author of a novel. Yet nature is cursed. There are things that have happened in nature that are a result of sin. Nature is a stewardship. We have a responsibility for how we interact with it. It is finite. It is open to God's intervention. And it is, in fact, part of a larger realm. Well, that's our tour of the biblical view of nature. Nature has a significance and a future beyond human prediction. May we seek to know what that is and respond properly to it.